Hey, everybody, this is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my colleague, Liz McTagg, and we are Liz Geek Out. Hey, Liz, how are you?
You know how I was having a day last time we recorded?
Yeah.
That shit turned into a week and then, like, slopped over into this week. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Oh, my God. Well, y'all, I'm on the road, so I might sound a little bit different, but that's okay, because here I am. Everything's fab.
Yeah, I promise I have not, like, set up some Andy automaton somewhere to record with me. It's the real Andy.
It is, you guys. Totes is. All right, so, Liz, this week, let's just jump right into it, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Okay. This week, friends, we are going to talk about Wynonna Earp Season 2. Because I think this was one of the shows that I got you into, Liz. Is that true?
Yes.
I'm so bad. Sorry. Not sorry.
I know. Shocker, right?
I'm so not sorry. We've already talked about Season 1, and I think what we should do with that, Liz, is I'll provide a link to that podcast as well in our overview. And then we can just, you know, make sure people can, like, hit that if they're not familiar with Wynonna Earp. If you're not familiar with Wynonna Earp, why not? What is happening to you?
Seriously.
It is, as the fandom, the Earpers, and all permutations of Earpdom, as you will, is one of the most dedicated and friendliest fandoms, I think, that anybody could ever hope to find in the fandom universe. They are also extremely active, and I'm going to suggest, from what I've seen and from what showrunner Emily Andras has said and what the actors and the cast and the crew have said, the fandom is responsible largely for getting this show renewed for both Season 2, Season 3, and Season 4, which... It's been renewed for Season 4 as well.
Yay!
Okay, so basically, friends, you know, a brief overview. Wynonna Earp is an urban fantasy, sort of, or a rural fantasy, because it's based in a small town. Somewhere Canada, American West-ish, called Purgatory. And Wynonna Earp is the great-granddaughter of Wyatt Earp and bears the Earp curse, which means she is tasked with killing revenants, demons, and sending them back to hell. But nothing is... No.
I'm going to jump in. Based on a conversation I had recently, I think we need to tell people who Wyatt Earp is in case they have been living under a very Western-free rock.
All right, please, Liz, take it from there.
So Wyatt Earp is a famous Western lawman who is one of the people who was involved in the shootout at the OK Corral. And he is a historical figure.
He's legit. This is a real guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, obviously the show takes some liberties with the legend that's grown up around him, but he was an actual, like, sheriff in the America's Wild West back in the day. All right, go.
Yes. Okay. So the curse started with Wyatt, and one of the things that the show tracks is what exactly this curse is, why it centers on Wyatt and the Earps, and what the deal is, but Wyatt's gun, his famous, you know, cool-looking 19th century pistol, is the gun that Wynonna uses to put down revenants because it's magic. It's a magic gun. So she's able to do this, and the gun, like, will, like, kind of, like, light up. The barrel of it sort of, like, these ancient runes come to light, and...
It's so cool.
It's super cool, okay? So Purgatory is located in the Ghost River Triangle, which... is for some reasons one of those places on the planet that attracts a whole lot of paranormal activity. So the town, there are a few townspeople who know what's happening, including Wynonna, her sister Waverly, Sheriff Nedley, who is awesome. I love him. And now his deputy, Nicole Hott, who is love interest to Wynonna's younger sister, Waverly. That's basically how this works out. There's all kinds of cray going on in the Ghost River Triangle. So Season 2 picks up, like, right where Season 1 ended. So if you saw Season 1, and there are going to be spoilers here, folks, but we're going to try not to spoil too much. Season 1 ended with a big old showdown with a giant, I don't know, what was that, Liz? A tentacle monster? Can we call it that?
Yeah, like like a giant demon tentacle from hell.
Yeah, like some right on the like border of town. So there's like this showdown, and the tentacle monster, the tentacles are killed, but there's this goo, this black tarry looking goo left behind. And we see that as season two opens, that this goo gets into Waverly, which is problematic.
Yes, to put it mildly.
Okay, so other things that are going on in season two that lend themselves to the Cray are we have Winona's friend Mercedes and her sister Beth, who live in the town. And Mercedes was a friend of Winona's, you know, for a while. And unfortunately, some of the demons have decided to infiltrate the town and use Mercedes and Beth as basically skin suits for their demonness, because they're bent on bringing back a big scary demon who served as a sheriff back in the day when Wyatt was still running around.
Which is kind of crazy, because the mm-hmm. Widows, as they're known, are pretty badass themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're this badass, but they're sort of there in service of bigger bad, is, you know, kind of what kept me going through that season. Like, what could possibly be worse than these two?
Exactly. What could be possibly worse? Shit. As we find out. So the Widows also have a younger brother, Tucker. And he has a whole subplot of his own, because he's obsessed with Waverly. And you guys, if you watch this season, Tucker is the definition of like psychopath or sociopath. I think psychopath is probably the better way to describe him. He's obsessed with Waverly, and it's really gross.
He's like Stephen King evil, right? You know, because one of the things Stephen King does so well is writes that like small town, petty evil. And Tucker, I really feel, kind of exemplifies all of those things. I mean, he's a normie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is just as like fucked up and awful as these like big bad Widows are in his own way. He doesn't have necessarily the magic, but man, he's got the evil.
Oh yeah, he's horrible. He's so horrible. So we have Tucker as a subplot, attracted to Waverly, but Waverly, as we all know, has like some goo going on, which alters her personality quite a bit. And this creates a little bit of a strain in her relationship with Nicole Hott, because Nicole is like, she knows something's up with Waverly, but she's not sure what it is. And she's wondering like, wow, who did I fall in love with?
Mm-hmm.
And so watching that play out over the course of season two, and the goo is, you know, leaves Waverly eventually, but watching that create this strain in this relationship was really interesting to see how that played out. Don't worry, friends, eventually it's going to work itself out. But I thought that Dominique Provo-Chalkley did an absolutely fabulous job of capturing the subtle differences as the goo sort of started taking over her personality.
Yeah, she does some really interesting things as Gooverly, and some of them are sort of amusing in that, like, what the heck is going on here kind of way, and some of them are like, ooh, that's dark.
Yes, it was. So we've got that going on. We've got the Widows, you know, kind of working for the betterment of Bolshar, the demon, who's the demon Clutie. We've got Gooverly running around, and we've got Dolls, who is experiencing a little bit of a problem with his hybridness. For those of you who realize Dolls is, in fact, not completely human, but you figured that out in season one. Well, it turns out he's a dragon. He has like dragon elements to him, and he needs like this drug to help him stay reasonably stable so he doesn't like, you know, basically burn himself up, I guess. Well, from season one, we know that the drug is hard to come by. So season two, guess who's working on drugs for Dolls?
Doc,
of all people, who's in the love triangle with Winona. and dolls. So we've got all this interpersonal drama going on too. So we've got Doc working on the drugs with the help of a new character who was introduced in season two and who has become an Erper favorite, and that is Jeremy. Is the young nerdy scientist guy, you know?
Yeah, Jeremy is so much fun. He's like such a bundle of awkward that it's really easy to kind of discount him, and then he like pulls something out of his ass and saves the day. But at the same time, the next words out of his mouth are like right back to bundle of awkward.
He's like, oh my God. But the thing that's so cool about Jeremy is that he's gay. He's another gay character in the Wynonna Earp universe, which is really kind of awesome to have that sort of representation, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And not only that, but he's Indian, as in Asian. So he's got that rep going on too. And I just love his little awkwardness. He's like crushed out on Doc big time. And Doc is just kind of like rolls with it. It's just not Doc's thing, but he's not weird about it at all. He's just like kind of like treats Jeremy as sort of like his little sidekick and tries to take care of him as best as Doc can, because Doc has his own issues, obviously, from back in the day. So we've got that as a new character. I thought the widows introduced as new characters, they were really great. Scary as fuck. Mercedes was scary.
Oh yeah. Well, and also, I mean, they're cut loose of the Black Badge, so they no longer have that kind of backing either. They're really out there on their own, and they have to form this little group. You know, it has to get really tight in order for them to survive, because they've basically been told, you know, Black Badge is no longer a thing for you guys. You're on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The Black Badge, they had become part of the Black Badge as sort of like deputized, and, you know, are all like, yay, look at us, we're awesome. And then it ended up that they were no longer able to Black Badgerize. Is that even a thing?
Which is now a verb.
Which is now a verb. Black Badgerize. I also wanted to point out that the actor who plays Jeremy is Varun Saranga. And I mean, he has literally become an ERP favorite, an ERPdom favorite. And if you get a chance to see him at cons, he's really fabulously. He's just as sweet and funny in real life as he is playing Jeremy. Let's talk also a little bit about Melanie Scrofano, or Wynonna Earp. She had an interesting arc, season two, shall we say.
Yes, she did.
So we've got... to recap, we've got Doc making drugs for dolls. We've got dolls as hybrid dragon man. We've got Gooverly and Nicole wondering, what the fuck? We've got the widows who are working to bring back Bullshar, and so there's that tension. We've got assorted revenants running around doing their crazy shit. We've got the goo that jumps from Waverly into Wynonna at one point. And then we've got, like, Jeremy, who's figuring out that all is not as it seems in the Ghost River Triangle. And we have a love interest for Doc, in addition to Wynonna, and that is Rosita, who, a character who works at the bar with him, and I actually really like her character. She turns out she's quite the scientist, and she's working closely with Doc on these drugs for dolls. And she's also working with Jeremy. But she plays kind of a foil to Doc and also Waverly and Wynonna.
Right. And now the love triangle has become this, like, love octagon. And and things are really complicated. But even more complicated by Wynonna's discovery. In the first third of the season? That she's preggo.
She's, yeah. Oops. So this character arc is really intriguing, because at first she's not sure who the baby daddy is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's speculation, you know, that it might be some gross revenant she had a fling with in town, you know, like some one night stand.
Oh, and he is slimy.
He's so disgusting. And then, but she was, you know, she was drunk and she regrets it, okay? And then there's the hope that it's Doc, Okay, and as it turns out that it is Doc later, we find that out later on. But the thing that was really cool about that whole pregnancy arc is that Melanie Scrofano was actually pregnant. So Emily Andras, the showrunner, wrote it into the show because, you know, what are you going to do? Your lead is pregnant, so you're going to figure out a way to make it work. At least ideally mm-hmm. you are. And so rather than, you know, do the thing where Winona disappears for a while, you know, or there's like no, you don't know what's happening or she's not as present in the show, Emily Andras wrote that shit in and it became part of the plot.
Yeah, and really effectively too. I mean, there was no downplaying of it. There was no, you know, trying to like just conveniently ignore it. It became a central part of the plot and of Winona's character. I mean, we see a lot of, well, I mean, she deals with it in the way only Winona can, right? Which is at first, you know, a heaping amounts of denial, and then kind of grudgingly coming to terms with it and doing the best she can.
Right.
Which I think is pretty much Winona in a nutshell, right?
Right. And I loved the development of that character through the pregnancy. You know, Andras implemented it into the plot. And we mm-hmm. see Winona dealing with all of the things that come with pregnancy, prenatal care.
Yep.
She's got, you know, hormone issues, and she complains about having to pee all the time.
And Waverly won't let her have any coffee.
Right. And she's not drinking anymore. So it's like, but she's still training while she's pregnant, you know. So you see her go rounds with dolls in hand-to-hand combat, and she kind of like uses, like you were saying, her belly as like a counterweight, mm-hmm. as ballast. Oh my god, it was so well done.
Doesn't she like once like high-five Waverly with her belly?
Yes.
That made me laugh so hard. I mean, but it's really interesting to see Winona in this, because she is no longer able to use a lot of the coping mechanisms that she does to, like, get through the day. Like, drinking was a big part of how she dealt with all of the shit that she had to deal with. And that's completely gone for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, frankly, it doesn't have to be. No one could have stopped her had she decided to keep drinking. There are women who do.
Right.
But she, you know, she makes the decision not to. You know, the fact that she's not drinking is not because of anybody else. It is because of her own decision. And that is a decision that she makes for the baby once, you know, this is something that she's decided she's going to do.
Right. Which, I mean, yay. Because as we all know, Winona Earp's character is pretty damaged like, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And that's part of what makes this show so amazing, is that there's this lead character who has a backstory. She was a problem child. She has issues with everything, but when the shit hits the fan, she steps up because she cares that much about the people in her life, specifically Waverly, who is mm-hmm. her sister. And by extension, Nicole Hott, even though there's a really great, you know, the development of Winona and Nicole's relationship, I think, is super cool. The way that they're like, Winona's like, nobody's good enough for my sister. And Nicole's like, that's not true. And so they have like this tension between them where that they try to work through starting in season two. And you'll see more of it in season three. And it's really well done. Pretty funny. Like,
yeah. And I love that we can have some like bumps along the road in Waverly and Nicole's relationship. I mean, it's really treated, I feel, pretty realistically. I mean, no relationship is perfect, mm-hmm. even in those, like, you know, shiny, glowy beginning days. No relationship is perfect. There are always things, you know, things that you bump up against in the other person, whether they're possessed by demon goo or not. And we get that. And we get to see it, you know?
Right.
It's not just this thing that's happening on screen where, oh, you know, heaven forbid that we should see queer characters having an actual queer relationship. You know, we get to see it. We get to experience it. And No one dies tragically. There's no tragic queer death. I love this so much because there is so much opportunity for conflict and drama, and nobody has to die.
Exactly.
And it's like, hello, every other show out there, take some fucking notes.
Right? It's watching the relationship develop between Waverly and Nicole has been so cool because it's, you know, there's issues. Every couple has issues and they like get upset with each other and they try to work it out. This season has a lot of tension between Nicole and Waverly, and there's like the relationship gets a little bit rocky.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possible threat to the relationship. But they realize ultimately that they do want to make it work. And so that's what they do. They focus on really making it work. And they've got, you know, dealing with Winona's crazy baby daddy issues creates another point of conflict because Waverly's relationship with Winona is very, very tight and it's very important. And that's another element of this show that I freaking love is the sister bond. Between yes. these two. Did you want to go talk a little bit more about that, Lise?
About the sister bond?
Yeah.
Sure. They're sisters. It's great. They bond. All right. Next topic. I really enjoy watching those two interact because, you know, you get the feeling, like with a lot of close siblings, that they can say a lot to each other mm-hmm. and come back from it. You know, in a way that you can do with family that you can't do with anyone except maybe their, like, closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And in this season, they really need that because they're out there on their own, you know?
Right, right.
If they can't rely on each other, they can't rely on anybody. So that relationship between Winona and Waverly is really sort of the nucleus of the group that they've built around them. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like as long as those two are solid, everything else can be worked out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when we have, like, the goo and all that's put in this pressure on their relationship as well, that you start to, you know, look and be like, oh, shoot, is this going to break down?
And you worry about that. I mean, there's mm-hmm. enough tension that it becomes kind of this thing where you're like, oh, yeah, this is yikes. And then you've got the tension between Waverly and Nicole, and Waverly is trying to figure shit out because as we discovered, you know, it was hinted at all through season one that she's not an ERP per
not
se.
Not by blood. Right.
And so there's like this weird thing going on, like, well, who am I if I am not an ERP? Because she has been invested in that her entire life and has been Winona's sister, and now she's trying to figure out, well, who am I? And that's kind of part of, you know, feeding some of this internal tension that Waverly has to experience this season in season two. And that feeds into her relationship with Nicole and Winona, even though Winona's like, I don't freaking care. You're my sister.
Right. And new relationships have a way of putting strain on existing relationships. So as Nicole and Waverly get closer, I feel like Winona starts to question, like, where does she necessarily fit? At the same time, Waverly is dealing with this whole, like, am I biologically an ERP? And she's questioning her fit. And so there are all these like, pressures,
mm-hmm.
like, from outside and within on their relationship, and they manage to weather them. I think part of it, you know, is the baby goes a long way to helping them kind of, like, refocus on what's important.
Oh, yeah.
And realize mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of this other stuff is just noise.
That was actually a really important element here was how Winona's pregnancy sort of pulled them all together. Because there's tension, too, between Doc and Winona, as there always mm-hmm. is. But, you know, it was creating, like, some difficulties for them. But the baby really sort – you're right. The pregnancy and the baby ultimately brought them all together because they had something – to focus on as what's important. And, you know, all the other crap, the demons, everything else, you know, let's focus on the baby and keep the baby safe. Because, of course, what we have here, at first it was suspected that Winona's baby daddy was a revenant. So that would, of mm-hmm. course, make this child really important. But because it's the child of the Erp heir, that means that this child will most likely also be an Erp heir. So that means the baby will, when she turns, and it turns out to be a girl, when she turns 27, she will then become imbued by the Erp curse, and she will have to, like, pick up the gun and go out and kill revenants. You know, and thus repeating the cycle. That's the Erp curse. It just repeats every generation.
Yeah, and everyone is so tired about it.
They're so over it. They're so over it.
Actually, something that, and we get to learn more about the Erp curse this season, which, you know, I love me some backstory, and so it was really fantastic to, you know, finally get a handle on, like, where did this all come from? How did we get to where we are? Which is a question that's important to more than just Wynonna, as it turns out. You know, it's the Erp heir isn't the only one who's stuck in this curse. And we find out that, you know, the Revenants are, a lot of them, you know, are very bad people. But there are people who were caught up in this curse who were not bad people.
Right.
At least not to begin with. And then you get to see, you know, what does the strain of coming back over and over and over again, what does that do to a person? Both, I think, you know, in bad ways, but also in good ways. You know, we do get some hints that in some ways it can be beneficial. But I think overall, most of those Revenants would agree that, yeah, this is the worst crap that's ever happened to them.
Four out of five Revenants agree, this is the worst crap that ever happened.
We need that on a t-shirt.
Right? Oh my god. So anywho, yeah, that we find out, we get some backstory on the curse, and that includes Bobo Del Rey's backstory. He is integral to the curse as well. And we find that Rosita actually has some backstory with the curse, which I thought was really fascinating to see her as part of this whole thing.
And I hadn't seen that coming at all. I mean, we know there's something a little funky with her character from the beginning, you know, mostly because she's involved with Doc.
Right.
But yeah, when all of that is revealed, it's like, holy crap. Yeah, I did not see that coming. The writing, you know, this season is as good or better than it was last season. And yeah, they're really good at keeping you guessing plot-wise.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved this season. I actually want to watch it again because there's so much that you miss when you're watching an episode. There's so much built into you each episode that you may be focused on one element of the story, and there are so many different plot lines that are interweaving, and you may be focused on one and you miss three others.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so you got to figure out, oh my god, so every time I watch an episode, I'm always seeing new things.
Yeah, and that's another thing that the season does really well, is I really felt like I got a much better feel of the town and the area. You know, we get to see more of sort of the denizens of this whole area, and we get to see that, you know, there's more at play than just the Erp heir and the Revenants.
Right.
There's a lot more that goes on. It's really easy to think that, you know, this is the main beef that goes on in town. And it turns out this is not the main beef. It's a beef. But man, there is a lot that goes on in Purgatory.
Behind the scenes, there's so much going on in Purgatory. And I think that's exemplified through the character of Sheriff Nedley, who knows, he's like, there's so much y'all don't know. And he's just so tired of dealing with all the cray.
Yeah.
He's like, can we just get this shit under control for once?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. So if you had to sum up season two, these, how would you do that, like in a couple sentences?
I would sum up season two as more. It's more of the interpersonal drama. It's more of the town. Everything, you know, it's everything is clipping along. You know, we're just it's everything you want a second season to be. You've got more awesome storylines. You get to find out more about the world without getting bogged down in it, which is, you know, really difficult to do. I really felt like this season avoided that sophomore slump that a lot of like second seasons or sequels fall mm-hmm. into. I think because, you know, we get opened up more into the world. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I have lots of excitement and hopes for season 3, which you're getting to currently watch.
I am currently watching it, yes.
I won't get to see until it's on Netflix.
I am currently watching it, yes. And that reminds me, we're at our mark, please. But you can see Wynonna Earp season 3 on the Sci-Fi Channel if you're in the U.S. or Space TV if you're in Canada, because it is huge in Canada as well. It is a Canadian show. And you can also catch seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix here in the States. And I believe as of yesterday or the day before, you can now catch season 2 on Netflix in Canada. So, yay! So there are options to watch it. Anyway, that wraps up Les Geek Out. I am Andy Marquette with my colleague, Lise McTague. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And please, please watch Wynonna Earp. Do yourselves a favor, for reals. What about you, Lise?
About me what?
Should they watch it or not?
Oh, hell yeah. What, haven't I been saying that this whole time? Watch the damn show, people.
All right, friends. You can find us on iTunes. And if that's where you find us, please like and subscribe. That makes us feel special and kind of sexy, I guess. I don't know. And it just, you know, drives traffic. And that's what we want. More traffic. Woo! All right, friends. Take care of yourselves. And until next time. Bye. Oh my god. Wynonna Earp is the bomb. Do you know how many Wynonna Earp shirts I own now, please?
I have no idea.
Easily like 8.
Oh, I was going to say 5, but then that seemed like a low ball. That's
totally low. It's like 8. Oh my god, it's like so many.
I don't own one yet. I know. Well, I have to go through. I have too many shirts in general, and I need to clear some out before I can, you know, replenish.
Okay. That'll work.